Blog Talk Radio.
But Wall gets the rebound, throws it out to Thompson. Thompson with the three, and it's good. The space is a record here. The Toys get out. As Tobias tries to go with the shot, he goes, scores ahead of by number two, Colin Marshall.
It's worthy for the field goal. That is blocked. That is that gorgeous. You have got to be kidding me. He blocked it and caught it at the same time, and he's going to bring it to the house for another Franco's press touchdown.
It will do it! State Joe's press! We're going to the state championship game for back-to-back years!
And State Joe's press is headed to the Palestra. For the first time in school history, the St. Joe's Prep hockey team are state champions.
You're listening to WSJP, the voice of all things St. Joe's Prep.
Good afternoon and welcome to the WSJP Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Christopher Newman, and I'm joined by my good friend, Zach Reagan, and we are back and ready to talk about all things fantasy football. Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. I'm really excited for this show. It's something like we've never really done before, so I'm ready to just get right into it.
That's right. We thought after our two-week break that we would come back and have a little fun here, and our show today will consist of Zach and I going over some bold predictions, better known as hot takes, in the fantasy football community. Zach and I have both come up with 8 bold predictions that we think could happen for the 2020 fantasy football season, and we're going to share them with you today. And before we get started, you can get Prep Sports updates from our Twitter pages at SJP Broadcasting and at SJPrep_sports. So with that, Zach, if you want to start us off with your first hot take, you can go right ahead.
Yeah, Chris. So my first hot take is one that, honestly, I'm a little iffy on. My first hot take is that Odell busts again, as in he'll fall outside the top 24 wide receivers as he did last year. Many people think after last year where Odell disappointed many fantasy owners that he's going to have a wild bounce back year. But I think there's certainly a possibility that it won't happen. I mean, people really count out Jarvis Landry and the work he did last year. And Baker Mayfield even targeted Landry more. So that's why I'm a little iffy on it. Chris, what are you thinking about this hot take?
Yeah, Zach, much like you, I am on the fence here with Odell because there's so many pros and cons of him. Like, I will start with the cons. As we know, last year he was a projected first-round pick, and he bust. And now this year he's looking for a bounce-back year. But it's going to be tough, especially with that crowded offense, Zach. As we know, you've talked about the Browns' offense in the past and how stacked it is. And this year they even added in Austin Hooper. So it's going to be hard to find targets there. And Odell is a player that is going to want targets if he's the lead guy on that team. So it's just going to be tough for Baker to make everyone there fantasy relevant. So those are some of the cons. And some of the pros, though, Zach, are, as you mentioned, Jarvis Landry outproduced Odell last year. But Landry this year is coming off hip surgery that he had earlier in this offseason. And he might start off the year injured, actually. So that could help Odell, not – battle for targets there with Landry. So, Zach, in most of my mock drafts, I really have been targeting Odell mainly for the fact that I just like more wide receivers around him. Like, I'd rather take a Terry McLaurin or, you know, try and grab Kenny Galladay if he's still there over taking Odell because there's just so much risk there. So, Zach, I really like this hot take, actually, because I feel like it could happen is that Odell busts again, and he is currently ranked as the wide receiver 13, much better than last year, as he was ranked like the wide receiver, I think, 5 or 6. So just much better, Zach, and I like that hot take.
Yeah, Chris, if I can just add on again real quick, like we've talked about the Browns effect in the past before, they have just so many weapons, and I'm not even sure a star as studded as Odell will be able to keep up. I mean, they have 2 stellar tight ends in Hooper and Njoku, as we've mentioned, and they also have Landry there. Among others, trying to get their start in the NFL. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the Browns' offense this season. I mean, we've mentioned before that this is only really good news for Baker Mayfield, who I think could have the potential to have a great season. But yeah, Chris, let's move on. Why don't you tell us your first hot take?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. And my first hot take is about a guy that I've been hyping up all season, Zach. And you know this, he's probably my number one my guy at this point because I've just talked about him so much. And it's Calvin Ridley finishes as a top five wide receiver in the 2020 fantasy football season, Zach. Now, this might seem bold for others, and it might not seem bold for others, and I'll tell you why. I've seen Calvin Ridley, Zach, ranked as high as the wide receiver 10, and I've seen Calvin Ridley ranked as low as the wide receiver 22, and for ESPN, he's ranked as the wide receiver 20. So it all depends how high you are on Calvin Ridley, because personally, I mean, I see him finishing as a top five wide receiver, much like Chris Godwin last year, Zach. I mean, picture it as Mike Evans, you know, is the wide receiver one on that team, and Godwin was the wide receiver two, and now for the Falcons, you have Julio as the wide receiver one and Calvin Ridley as the wide receiver two, and Godwin actually finished higher than Evans last year. As we know, Godwin finished as the wide receiver two last year, so he went off, and I feel like Ridley could do that this year because they're pretty much the same as Godwin and Evans did last year. So I feel like Ridley can really, really produce this year because, Zach, as we mentioned, Austin Hooper left the Falcons this past offseason, signed that deal with the Browns, and a bunch of targets are up for grabs, Zach. And Julio Jones already has enough targets, and especially for his age, I'm not sure how many more targets he can handle. So I feel like Ridley is going to be the guy that gets all of Hooper's targets since he's not there anymore. And I feel like that's why Ridley is just due for a big year because, as we know, Falcons very pass-heavy offense. They did bring in Todd Gurley, so he might take some of those targets and some of that work from Hooper, but I feel like the main guy that is going to be taking a lot of the work, Zach, is Calvin Ridley. So I have him finishing as a top five wide receiver. Very bold take here. As we see from ESPN, he's ranked as the wide receiver 20, jumping up 15 spots. And if he does, Zach finishes a top five wide receiver, he's going to be joining some elite members there, such as, you know, Tyreek Hill, maybe if he finishes there, Michael Thomas, Davante Adams, maybe Hopkins, but we'll see. Zach, what do you think of this?
Honestly, Chris, I think this pick is a little too bold for my taste. I think it's certainly a possibility for Calvin Ridley to finish as a wide receiver one, but I think a wide receiver five, without Julio getting injured, or if Julio plays a full season, I don't see Calvin Ridley getting anywhere near the top five. I think he has the potential to finish as a wide receiver one, like low tier though, like maybe like the wide receiver 10 maximum, but wide receiver five is just too much. I mean, Julio is a target hog. Simply in the 2 years that Calvin Ridley has been in the league in 18 and 19, Julio Jones has had 170 and 157 targets respectively, where Calvin Ridley hasn't even eclipsed 100 in either of those seasons. He had 92 and 93 last year. I mean, I don't think it's fair to compare that situation to the Buccaneers either, because Chris Godwin was a new receiver coming in, and Jameis Winston just seemed to like him a little more than Evans. Not that he didn't like Evans, because Evans also had a pretty good year from what I remember. But like Calvin Ridley has been there for a couple of years. He's been there for 2 years now. He's adjusting to the offense and his wide receiver two status. I think obviously Matt Ryan prefers to throw to Julio. They've been with each other for practically their whole careers. So I don't think he's just going to magically prefer to pick Ridley over Julio overnight, just in one season. I just don't think it's feasible, Chris. However, I do think those targets do need to be shared. I mean, obviously, those targets do need to be split out amongst the rest of the team. And I'm sure Calvin Ridley will get quite a few more targets than he did this year. But, I mean, it's a fact. Matt Ryan prefers Julio, and Julio is the better receiver than Calvin Ridley right now. It's simply just a fact. So, without Julio getting hurt, I don't think it's feasible for Calvin Ridley to get in the top five. But if Julio does get hurt, you have to invest all you can to Calvin Ridley because he's going to skyrocket if he does. I'm a full believer. If Julio ends up going down, or even Hayden Hurst. If another one of their starting receivers goes down, I would invest a lot in Calvin Ridley, Chris. So I'm going to go right into my next hot take, which is I think David Johnson, running back on the Houston Texans, could go top five in running backs this season, Chris. I think he's exactly what Houston needs. Houston has been looking for a great running back ever since, honestly, the last great running Houston running back that comes to mind is like Arian Foster, who had a 1,000-yard season in 2012 maybe was his last year. I don't even remember, but they haven't had a great running back in a long time. And Bill O'Brien has finally got what he sought for after that really that blockbuster trade that left a lot of people's heads shaking. But I think he knew what he was doing. He was looking for a great running back, and he got it. Obviously, David Johnson has had his issues in the past, especially for fantasy owners since his stellar 2016 season. But I think with the Texans making a little bit of an improvement to their offensive line, I think David Johnson is exactly what they need, and I think they're going to utilize him heavily, especially with DeAndre Hopkins gone. I think he's going to be used more in the passing game, which is great for PPR because DeAndre Hopkins was a target monster in Houston, and now that he's gone, not all of his targets are going to go to Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. I'm sure he's going to get a decent amount of work coming out of the backfield, Chris. So what do you have to say about this hot take?
Yeah, Zach, I mean, you know I'm very excited for David Johnson this year. I mean, you see me taking him in all the mocks that I can. And just to piggyback off what you said, I mean, Zach, volume is key in fantasy football. And as you mentioned, with Hopkins no longer in Houston, there is a lot of targets up for grabs. And David Johnson is going to have a lot of volume there, a lot of work that no one else is going to steal from him. Because behind David Johnson, Zach, in that backfield, it's Duke Johnson, and I'm not really scared of Duke Johnson, even in PPR, which is what he's known for. But anyway, I mean, David Johnson, Zach, he is looking for redemption. I mean, as you mentioned, ever since his 2016 season, he just hasn't been the same. And he's looking for a big bounce-back year, especially after last year where he was pretty much benched for Kenyon Drake. I mean, the Cardinals just traded for a new running back and just sat him on the bench the whole year. So I mean, that's what the Texans were looking for. I mean, last year they had Carlos Hyde, which they really had no faith in him. And, Zach, I'm going to say it again. Carlos Hyde had a 1,000-yard season last year with the Texans. So if he can do it, I mean, David Johnson, I feel like, can do way more than that. So, you know, people are worried about, you know, his past injuries and he's washed up and all that. But I'm a believer in David Johnson, especially for a bounce-back season. The work is there. The volume's there. No one's behind him, Zach. The Texans believe in him or else they would sign someone else behind him. And Duke Johnson really doesn't scare me, Zach. And I really like this hot take. Again, I feel like David Johnson has top five potential here. But he's going to have to produce every week because there are a lot of good running backs, Zach, that he has to outproduce to finish top five. So it's very bold, Zach, but I can see it happening if everything works out for Johnson, if he stays healthy, if he gets all the work that people are saying he's going to get, and if this Texans offense can help him produce 2016 self. So, Zach, I really do like this hot take.
Yeah, Chris, you can go right into your next one. I think we've said all we have to say there. We pretty much agree on that one. So you can go right into your next one.
That sounds good, Zach. And for my second hot take, I'm going to stay on the running back topic here. And this is about another guy that I really like, is that Joe Mixon finishes as a top three running back, Zach. And while people may think this isn't as bold, I feel like it is bold because currently, Zach, Joe Mixon is ranked as the RB10 on ESPN. And, you know, people are currently, like, not as high on Joe Mixon for some reason because of news of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Zach, and everyone's just sleeping now on Joe Mixon. I mean, it's really tough to say that he's a sleeper, but everyone is so high now on Clyde Edwards-Helaire since Damian Williams opted out. I mean, everyone is – I mean, I've seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Zach, picked as early as the fifth overall pick. I mean, it's crazy to me that they're taking a rookie and a brand-new offense on a brand-new team over a guy like Joe Mixon who's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, Zach, and has been on the same team. I mean, it's crazy to me. So, I mean, this isn't as bold because I feel like this could happen, especially the Bengals have come out and said that they want to use Mixon more in the passing game, and he already has enough, like, attempts on the ground. And now if you're going to get him some more PPR action, it's going to be a great year for Mixon. So especially with Joe Burrow, I feel like having a rookie quarterback really helps Joe Mixon out, so he can do, like, those dump-off passes, much like Brady goes to James White, well, as Brady used to go to James White. But I see that happening for Mixon and Burrow there. So, Zach, I really do like Joe Mixon. You know, I love taking him at the end of the first round. And for him to finish top three isn't as bold, but I really do like him this year. Currently ranked as the RB10. I really think it's a big year for Joe Mixon, Zach.
Yeah, Chris. I think that, honestly, I think that take is pretty bold because there are a lot of, I feel like all of the Clyde Edwards-Helaire hype, he's shadowing a lot of other great running backs that we've talked about and that we like that come in the later first round. Guys like Joe Mixon, your Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, the guys that come to mind for me. And a lot of those guys are just being overshadowed by the fact that Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally – Not even finally. He has the backfield to himself now. And so I still think top – you said top three, correct? Yeah, I think top three is just a tad too bold, Chris, because honestly, the biggest issue with that is there's a couple issues I have with it. Like in the passing game, I mean, the Bengals already have so many weapons, and A.J. Green – Tyler Boyd is a guy that we both really like, and T. Higgins coming in, I'm sure he's going to get quite a couple targets, especially since he's going to be developing the chemistry with his fellow rookie, Joe Burrow. But, I mean, having that rookie QB, it's a good thing, you said. So, like, sometimes if he's feeling the pressure, he'll start to rely on Joe Mixon a little bit more, I feel like, throw those kind of dump-off passes, like you said. I feel like Joe Mixon has the potential to get a couple more carries this season, too. But I'm not sure that's going to be able to propel him to a top three quarterback, especially because of how just the low quality of his offensive line. I mean, I'm looking at a depth chart right here, and I wouldn't be able to name any of these guys on the Bengals offensive line. So I don't know. That doesn't make me feel great about his situation. Obviously, he's a very talented running back and an offense that's destined to produce this season and others going forward, but I don't know. I'm not sure I believe in him as a top three running back this season. Maybe next season, if pretty much everything stays the same in Cincinnati, but they add to their offensive line, I think there's a much better chance of him doing better in those circumstances. Do you have anything else to add on that, Chris?
I do, Zach. You mentioned the offensive line, and even though their offensive line wasn't really the best last year, they did make some slight improvements to help Mixon out. And I know that you may not be as high on Joe Mixon as I am, but just to touch on the point that you made about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, I'm actually pretty happy that people are reaching on Clyde Edwards-Helaire here because it just leaves the good running backs for us. Like, I've seen Derrick Henry fall now to, like, the 110. Joe Mixon now fall into the early second round because everyone's reaching on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So if people keep doing that, then that just leaves us the running back, Zach, which I'm pretty happy about. Anyway, back to Mixon. It's bold, Zach, but again, that's the point of the show, hot takes / bold predictions, and hopefully it can happen. But now if you want to go into your third one, I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, Chris, I'm sure it's certainly a possibility, so we're going to go over to the quarterbacks now, and this one's a really bold take. I'm not even completely sure it can happen, but my third hot take is that Tannehill can end the season as a quarterback one, Chris. And I think it's certainly a possibility. I mean, he was the MIP last year. He got most improved player. He battled a lot of adversity from having an injured season on the Dolphins the year prior, I believe, and then getting traded to Tennessee. Did he get traded or did he join a free agency? Do you remember, Chris?
I'm really not too sure here. I feel like the Dolphins cut him if I want to take a guess.
Yeah, that may sound right. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is that I think he can do great. I mean, he's got a great young wide receiver in A.J. Brown who produced really well last year. I mean, alas, he doesn't really have great wide receiver depth, but he also has a really great pass-catching tight end. I mean, we've seen Jonnu Smith make some crazy catches last year. I mean, he had an insane one-handed touchdown grab that's on every Titans highlight reel. So I think there's a lot of potential for him there. I mean, their offensive line is really solid. Their pass protection is great. So I think that Tannehill has – I think he can become a quarterback one, Chris. I mean, he's more adapted to the offense. He has chemistry with his wide receiver one now. So I think it's certainly a possibility. What do you think?
Yeah, Zach, I mean, I really do like Ryan Tannehill. If he's there in the later rounds, I find myself taking him as a backup quarterback. But as a QB1, Zach, I don't know if I could really trust him as my QB1. Like, I'm not aiming to take him as my starting quarterback every week. Just because I feel like it's worth it to pick up a guy like Matt Ryan or Matthew Stafford more than just waiting on Ryan Tannehill. I feel like those guys are much safer because Tannehill could very well, you know, bust. But, yeah, Zach, I mean – if we're going off last year, Tannehill has that. He has a lot of chemistry, like with that team, as you mentioned, Jonnu Smith, AJ Brown. You know, the Titans made a big run for the playoffs there, so they're coming off kind of a high note there. But I just feel like I like more quarterbacks than Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he's a solid backup, but Zach, I don't know if I could trust him as my starting quarterback every week. I feel like I would be better off with, you know, Daniel Jones, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, someone of that nature, but. I definitely see where you can, like what you're talking about here, because finishing as a QB1 means pretty much he's finishing as a top 12 quarterback if we're going off a 12-team league. So, I mean, I guess I can see Tannehill kind of finishing that high, but, you know, if I'm going for a late round backup quarterback, Zach, you already know who I'm taking, and it's Drew Lock. So, it's not that I'm not a fan of Tannehill. I just like guys around his ADP more. Like Drew Lock and all those guys that I named previously. But I can see this happening if the Titans get off to that start that they finished with the playoffs next year, Zach.
Yeah, Chris, you can go right into your next hot take.
Sounds good. And for my third hot take, I'm going to go over to wide receiver. It's DeAndre Hopkins, Zach, finishes outside the top 15. That's right. Now, this one is probably one of my more bold ones, and I'm going to explain why here. I'm really not a fan of the – I mean, I guess I'm on the fence with Hopkins here, even though I've barely taken him, Zach. Of course, we all know that he got traded from the Texans to the Cardinals now. And, you know, every year a guy's on the first team. I mean, I want to say they struggle, but who knows with Hopkins, because that guy is a rare form of talent. But – I have him finishing outside the top 15 as a bold prediction because that is a pretty stacked Cardinals offense if you think about it. I mean, they have DeAndre Hopkins, Andy Isabella. They have Larry Fitzgerald in there. They have Kenyon Drake now. Kyler Murray's going to run a lot. So that's a pretty decent offense, Zach, and that's a lot of targets. And as we know, Zach, DeAndre Hopkins demands a lot of targets, as we saw. I mean, I think he had, I don't know, 60% target share in the Texans offense or something. I mean, he ran that Texans offense. Him and Watson ran that offense. And now he's going to want the same thing in Arizona with him and Kyler Murray. And I don't think Cliff Kingsbury runs the same offense as Bill O'Brien does. I mean, the Texans seem like they pass way more, and the Cardinals seem like they love to run more with the scrambling QB like Kyler Murray. So, Zach, I think it was Larry Fitzgerald, Zach, maxed out at 109 targets last year. That was his max. And Larry Fitzgerald is still there. And also, I forgot about Christian Kirk. My bad. Christian Kirk's still on that team. So, you know, I would get it if Larry Fitzgerald or Kirk, one of them left. But they're both still on the team, Zach. And now you're adding in DeAndre Hopkins. That's a pretty crowded offense, and people are going to demand targets there. So I don't see Hopkins coming in and just stealing Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald's targets and say, now they're mine now because I'm the big guy on the team. They're still going to have their fair share of targets, Zach, and DeAndre Hopkins is going to come in and want a lot of work from Kyler Murray. So that's why this offense scares me a little bit. If I'm going to take an early wide receiver, which you know we both like waiting on wide receivers, I'm going to take Kenny Galladay if it's anyone, or maybe, you know, Julio Jones, who's safer. But Hopkins, it's like high risk, high reward here for DeAndre Hopkins on this new team. He's currently ranked as the wide receiver 2. That's right, 2 behind Michael Thomas on ESPN. And Zach, if I'm thinking worse things worse, this is what's going to happen for DeAndre Hopkins finishing outside the top 15.
Yeah, Chris, that's just a really pessimistic outlook, though, because DeAndre Hopkins is a star that demands targets. I mean, if you're not targeting him, you're not going to win games. It's just kind of a fact at this point, right? He's just such a talented player that's what you're going to have to do to win. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is getting old, and I think he's accepting his role of more as a mentor to the younger guys more than ever at this point. I mean, let's face it, he's probably going to retire next year, which opens up a lot more for Hopkins in years to come in Arizona. And I think Christian Kirk is going to be a great number 2 to him, similar to that of Calvin Ridley. So especially in later years when Larry is most likely retired, I think they're going to be a wide receiver duo for the ages. But that's beside the point. We're not talking about the future. We're talking about now. And I think DeAndre Hopkins, although he doesn't have the perfect chemistry with them yet, he's going to be adapting to the offense and a shortened offseason due to the coronavirus. But he's a star that demands targets, Chris. I don't see him finishing anywhere outside the top 10. I mean, it's certainly possible for him to fall beneath his ranking. I mean, 2 is – honestly, I think 2 is pretty high for DeAndre Hopkins. I think it's possible for him to fall past, like, maybe a little bit past 10, but I think past 15 is a tall order. He almost has to try and fail to – he has to try to fail to fall outside the top 15, Chris. He's going to get – he's most likely going to get over 100 targets in that offense, regardless of who's on it. So – I just don't see him falling outside the top 15. Maybe the top 10, but the top 15 is too drastic, I believe. Do you have anything
that.
To say on that?
That? Yeah, I do see your point, Zach. It's actually funny. I just got an alert on my phone that says, quote, Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray says he definitely thinks DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk could all have over 1,000 yards receiving this season. And that is then now, Zach. If you're going to talk about a bold prediction, that is one right there for 3 guys to have over 1,000 yards. So that'll be cool to see. But Zach, other than that, I do see your point. I just don't know if this is the year for Hopkins to keep producing.
Yeah, Chris. I'll go to mine next, and then after yours, we can take a short break. So my 4th hot take is that Drew Brees finishes outside the top 15, which isn't as bold, but he's currently ranked 11th by ESPN. And let's face it, Chris, Drew Brees is getting older. I'm sure his arm talent has worn down significantly since he was in his prime. Obviously, he has great weapons in Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Alvin Kamara, but I think some of the dysfunction with his team that we've talked about in the past may take a bit of a toll on him. And there's a lot of other guys ranked behind him in ESPN that I think could finish over him. Guys like Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, I think even Daniel Jones could. Baker Mayfield, I think, with his loaded offense that we talked about countless times, could eclipse him. Maybe even Ryan Tannehill. I mean, that was my last bold prediction, that he could finish as a quarterback 1, and able to do that, he would most likely have to pass a guy like Drew Brees. Maybe even Cam Newton in New England. I mean, he has solid weapons there in Julian Edelman. He's got a great pass-catching running back in James White. I mean, I think it's certainly a possibility that Drew Brees could falter a little bit this season. Chris, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, Zach, I can definitely see it. And personally, I have been staying away from Brees just because, as I mentioned before with Tannehill, Brees is going around the same ADP as guys like Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, Josh Allen even, Matt Ryan. So I just would prefer those guys over Drew Brees. And, Zach, I can definitely see this one happening outside the top 15. Even though I feel like it might not happen, I can see it happening. But Zach, I just feel like this has to be the Saints' year. I mean, of course, they've had their bad luck in the past, but, Zach, this team is hungry for a Super Bowl. I mean, they want to win so bad, and I feel like they are the best team in the NFC, maybe. I feel like they're the most ready team. I mean, they have that stacked offense, of course, and they're just one of the best teams, if not the best, in the NFC. So, you know, a Chiefs-Saints Super Bowl is something that I can see, Zach. But for Breeze, I mean, I feel like the Saints want to get it done this year, and for that to happen, they need Breeze every week to produce and win games for them, and I feel like he's going to do that. But for fantasy, if I want to try and win my league, I just want to be a little more safe with Breeze, you know, because he had that thumb injury last year. Maybe that could affect him this year. And earlier, like, he had that kind of, quote, argument with his teammates, and who knows if that's all settled. But anyway, you know, Zach, again, much like Tannehill, it's not that I don't like Drew Brees. It's that I just like guys around his ADP more than him, which is why I'm staying away from him pretty much for this year.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, I do agree that the Saints are probably the most Super Bowl-ready team in the NFC. They do really want it. And keep in mind, these are bold predictions, and we don't believe all of them. I'm not even sure. I'm not sure Breeze can fall outside the top 15. I mean, he's a great quarterback, Hall of Famer with great weapons. I mean, there's not much else you can say. Their team is hungry, too, so that's even more of a reason for him to do well. These are all just arbitrary, practically. So we can move on, Chris, to your hot take, and then we'll take a short break here at the WSJP Fantasy Football Show. So why don't you go ahead, Chris?
That's right, Zach. And my last hot take before we take a quick break here, I'm going to slide over to tight ends, actually. I think this is our first tight end one, actually. Zach, this one, as you just mentioned, some of these that we don't even believe ourselves now. This one is pretty bold. Is that Hayden Hurst or Mike Gesicki finished as a top three fantasy tight end for the 2020 fantasy football season, Zach? Now, how bold can you get right there? This is one that I feel like could happen, but it's going to take a lot for it to happen. I mean, currently, Zach, Hayden Hurst is ranked as the tight end 15, and Mike Gesicki is the tight end 13 on ESPN. So for them to move up the top three would take a lot, and they would be joining some elite companies such as Travis Kelce and George Kittle, as we know, who just signed that massive extension earlier today. But if one of them would make top three, that would be joining some elite company for the tight ends currently in the NFL. And, Zach, I'm going to explain why for both these guys, why it could happen. First, for Hayden Hurst, as we know, I've talked about this in the past, the Falcons love to use their tight ends. I mean, I've said it. I've said it with Tony Gonzalez. I've said it with Dawson Hooper. We've seen these guys produce every year. I mean, the tight end, a Falcons tight end always produces. And, Zach, Hayden Hurst, this is his chance. Of course, last year with the Baltimore Ravens, and he was drafted by the Ravens, I believe, he was always playing behind Mark Andrews, Zach, so he never got the opportunity to shine. Now, he's on a brand-new team, and a team that loves to use their tight ends and also pass a lot, Zach, and he has no one behind him, literally no tight end behind him. He's the only guy there. Now he does have to battle for targets with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, probably some of the best wide receivers in the league, especially Julio, probably the best, but you know, I don't worry for targets there. As I mentioned with Calvin Ridley, Hooper left, Zach. That's a lot of targets open there and upper grabs. So I feel like Hayden Hurst is going to take a bunch of those there. And I feel like he's going to produce a lot this year on this Falcons team. We saw what he did last year, Zach, when Preston Williams went down. And even when Preston Williams was playing, Mike Gesicki was producing. I mean, the guy is just raw talent here. And the Dolphins recognize that, and they know he has that talent, and that's why I feel like it's going to be a good year for Mike Gesicki, because last year he had a decent year. He didn't finish too high, Zach, but he was a good tight end sleeper, and this year he somehow, Zach, is still a tight end sleeper. And I mean, I like both these guys. I find myself taking either one of them in drafts. I mean, the only three tight ends I've been taking this year are Hayden Hurst, Mike Gesicki, and Johnny Smith. Those are really the only three tight ends I've been taking. I mean, of course, Kittle and Kelce, they're always safe, but I really don't like to take a tight end that early. Ingram could be good. I really do like him, actually. But Ertz, I'm staying away from. Waller, I'm staying away from. They're just, they're in crowded offenses, Zach. And compared to Hayden Hurst and Mike Gesicki, not to say Hayden Hurst isn't in a crowded offense, because he is, but with all those targets up for grabs, I feel like it's going to be a good year for him. But for Mike Gesicki, Zach, the Dolphins realize they need to use him to win I mean, last year he had the touchdown versus the Eagles, I remember, just from watching that game where the Dolphins upset the Eagles. And, you know, behind Devontae Parker is Preston Williams, and those two are going to be battling out for targets in the wide receiver spot, Zach. But behind Mike Gesicki, there really is no one else. So I feel like he's going to be a great target on this Dolphins offense. And this is why both of these guys, either one of them, is going to finish as a top three tight end, Zach. Pretty bold.
Yeah, Chris. I feel like, I don't know, that pick is pretty bold. I mean, Mike Gesicki is currently ranked at 13 and by ESPN. He's going to have to pass guys that have shown they can done it. Guys like Austin Hooper, guys like Hunter Henry, Gronk, Evan Engram, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, and Zach Ertz, assuming that Travis Kelce and George Kittle remain the top two in the tight end rankings, which I think is pretty safe to say that will repeat itself, especially since George Kittle got his big money and Travis Kelce has been producing consistently for over 5 years. I think that's too tall an order for Mike Gesicki, especially since the Dolphins' QB situation is still unsure. I don't even know who's supposed to start week one. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is supposed to start week one, but again, Tua is probably going to take over some point if the season does happen. So I just feel like his situation is too unsure for that to happen. I think he probably eclipsed the top 10, Chris. I think Mike Gesicki can definitely be a tight end one, and one that you'll love having. To say that he is going to be a top three tight end is a little too much for me. And I have a hot take similar to this, so we'll get to that after the break. But Hayden Hurst is a different story. I mean, Austin Hooper last year got more targets than your boy Calvin Ridley did. I think that the Falcons like to use their tight ends is a bit vague, though, because Austin Hooper and Tony Gonzalez are both really good tight ends. I mean, Tony Gonzalez is a Hall of Famer, Chris. You can't not utilize him in your offense. And Austin Hooper is finally coming into his own. He got a big deal with the Browns, which he definitely deserved after producing so well last season. So I think all that is coming for him. I'm not sure Hayden Hurst has the raw talent yet. We haven't really seen him do a lot in Baltimore. His situation is still on. That's pretty much what we love about him, his situation, not how well he can play yet. So we've never really seen Hayden Hurst play to his fullest potential yet, which is something that I'm a little unsure of if we're talking about top three in tight ends. Obviously, anything can happen in fantasy, but I think top three is a tall order for both of those guys. I'm going to have to – I don't think it could happen.
Like you just said, anything can happen in fantasy. But if you don't have anything else to add, then I'll take us out of here.
Yeah, Chris, you want to take us into break?
All right, sounds good. And we're going to take a short break here on the WSJP Fantasy Football Show. When we come back, Zach and I will reveal to you our last score hot takes. You're listening to the WSJP Fantasy Football Show only on Blog Talk Radio.
When colleges see St. Joseph's Prep on a transcript, they take note. That's because for more than 165 years, the Prep has churned out well-educated, well-spoken, and well-rounded young men who thrive in the college setting. They know their way around an SAT test and around the city, because when it comes to college, both matter. Come see what we're all about. Schedule a HawkLife visit today, or check us out online at www.sjprep.org. For the high school education you want and the edge you need, choose St. Joseph's Prep. College starts here.
St. Joe's Prep is a special place. It is where young men realize their potential and inspire others to do the same. It is a place where dedicated faculty challenge you to reach your best in the classroom, and outstanding coaches demand those same high qualities on the field, court, and river. It's where you are called to shine on the stage, in the courtroom, behind the mic, and at speech debate competitions. You don't come to the Prep because it's easy. You come to the Prep because you demand the best of yourself. If you're ready for this, if you're ready for the ultimate brotherhood, choose the Prep, and we'll see you at 17th and Girard.
You're listening to WSJP, your home for St. Joe's Prep sports year-round, only
on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the WSJP Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Christopher Newman, and I'm still joined by my good friend, Zach Reagan. And we're about to finish our top hot take slash bold predictions here. Zach, you want to take it away with your next one if you can?
Yeah, Chris, of course. My fifth hot take is also another quarterback one, and this is one that I know you love, and that's Drew Lock will finish in the top 10 of quarterbacks, and he's currently ranked number 22 by ESPN. It's pretty bold, Chris, but I'll let you take this one first because I know you're a much bigger fan of Drew Lock than I.
I mean, as I mentioned, if I'm targeting a backup quarterback in the later rounds, it's going to be Drew Lock. I don't really know if I trust him as my starting quarterback, Zach, but as a backup quarterback, I mean, you can't get more solid than Drew Lock here, especially with that stacked offense. So I definitely see him being top 10 as a possibility. But, I mean, I can't believe he's being ranked 22 by ESPN. I mean, Zach, that's pretty insane to me. I'm not sure about you, but for him to be ranked that low, especially with that offense, is just disrespectful to Drew Lock. But anyway, people in the past have said he struggles and his weakness is his accuracy. But I really don't worry about that, Zach, especially with this offense. It's just too stacked, not to produce. So, him finishing top 10 is something I can see. If everything works out for the Broncos, and I know they're planning for that stacked offense, Zach, it's going to be a good year for them. And watch out for them as a sleeper team, actually, because, if everything works out for them and this offense, works out and the defense keeps them in games, Zach, it's going to be a good year for Denver. And I really do like Drew Lock, Zach.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, Denver has a really good-looking offense. I mean, Drew Lock is entering his second year. He's more comfortable with the playbook, the players in general. I think the future is looking bright for them, especially this season. I mean, they have him, wide receivers. They have Cortland Sutton. They drafted two guys, Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, both guys that show a lot of promise. In the running backs, they have two stellar running backs in Melvin Gordon, who showed he could catch the ball with the Chargers. Only a little bit, though, because Austin Eckler was catching a lot of the passes in that backfield. And, I mean, they still have Philip Lindsay there, I believe, who did great things for them for the last couple of years. It's a shame that he's sitting behind Gordon now, but he'll probably be more of the receiving threat. So, I mean, their offense is looking great. They have a solid offensive line, especially with the addition of Graham Glasgow. So, I mean, they have a great tight end in Noah Fant, too. I mean, you can't really bash this offense at all, Chris. It looks pretty good. The only thing I would worry about is the fact that you have two rookie receivers starting. Because, I mean, as we've mentioned, the rookie receivers are probably going to struggle this season due to the fact that they have the shortened season, they're adapting to the playbook, yada, 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 so on and so forth. I mean, that's, pretty much the only thing I would worry about. I mean, Drew Lock is destined to succeed, and over the course of the last 2 years, second-year QBs have both won the MVP, and people are wondering if that statistic is going to repeat itself, and I think it certainly could with Drew Lock. I'm surprised this team is being so heavily slept on because the offense looks fantastic, Chris.
That's right, Zach, it does. I see big things for Drew Lock. And much like, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, they both broke out their sophomore year, Zach. And, Zach, it is Drew Lock's sophomore season. So, if things keep happening like they've been happening, then it's going to be a good year for Drew Lock. But, Zach, if you don't have anything else to say, I'm going to go on to my fifth hot take.
Yeah, Chris, shoot.
All right, and for my fifth hot take is going to be that Miles Sanders finishes as a top three running back, Zach. And, Miles Sanders is a guy that I've seen skyrocket up draft boards. I mean, this guy went from late, I mean, mid to late, you know, second round pick to now, I've seen him been taken at like 1-9, 1-10 in the first round. So he is climbing up draft board, Zach, and for good reasons. I mean, everyone is really high on Miles Sanders this year. I mean, we saw what he did last year towards the end of the season, Zach, when the backfield was pretty much all to himself. He was like, I think he was the top five running back the last couple weeks or something like that. But for him to finish top three, Zach, it's not really too bold because I feel like it really can happen. He's currently ranked as the RB13 on ESPN, and that's only moving up 10 spots. So, especially with that offense and him being the workhorse, I mean, the Eagles have come out and said that they want him to handle all the work, and that's really not like Doug Peterson. He really likes to usually have multiple RBs there. Like last year we saw with Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, and Boston Scott. But now, you know, Jordan Howard went off to Miami, and now it's pretty much Miles Sanders, Corey Clement, if he's healthy, and Boston Scott. So, you know, out of those three, obviously I'm going to pick Miles Sanders there. So, I mean, overall, Zach, he knows the offense. It's his second year, and sophomore year for this guy should lead to big things. That's why I'm really high on him. And for him to finish as a top three, Zach, I really see it happening if everything works out for him.
Yeah, Chris. You mentioned that Doug Peterson loves to run with the committee, and there's been word that they could sign Devontae Freeman. Obviously, it's been quiet since free agency was at its peak, but I think during the season it's certainly a possibility, and that could happen, that he could sign like a veteran running back. Maybe he could re-sign Jay Ajayi again or another guy like Devontae Freeman. So it worries me a little bit, but I mean, Miles Sanders is really talented. He's got great pass-catching ability, great running ability. He's small and shifty. He's everything you want in a running back. So I think he can do great this season. Again, top three running back is a tall order for him. You'd have to if you think Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley are going to go 1 and 2, which isn't guaranteed because Saquon went 10th last year, I believe, again, due to injuries and stuff. But if we assume that Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley are the two guys that are sitting right there, I mean, he's going to have to pass really big names to get to number three. Guys like Ezekiel Elliott, who's going to get way more carries than him. Guys like Dalvin Cook, who's been a really great – he's a great runner, great pass catcher. I just don't think he can – live up to some of these names that he's behind, Chris. Don't get me wrong, I love Miles Sanders. I think he could be a running back one at his best, but I think number three is going to be a little much. He's going to have to pet all the guys in front of him. I don't know, Chris. Like the top 10 running backs, like Nick Chubb, I don't think he could pass. Austin Eckler, maybe, if he ends up not getting enough running work. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, now that he has the backfield to himself, I don't really see it happening. Derrick Henry doesn't get a lot of passing work in PPR, but I don't know. Miles Sanders is really talented and all, Chris, but I just don't see him passing some of those bigger names quite yet. I mean, we haven't really seen the full of what he can do, because you mentioned last year he was still he was sharing the backfield with Jordan Howard mostly, so we haven't really seen the full of what he can do yet. I'm not sure he can pass some of those bigger names quite yet. But it is great to think about that we finally have a great running back, because it's something the Eagles fans haven't really had since, like, Shady McCoy is the last time I can think of a great running back we've had. So it's really exciting to think about how good the offense looks this season, especially since everyone's coming back healthy. But I digress. Do you have anything else to say on your hot take, Chris?
No, Zach, I mean, you did bring up some good points there. And it's going to be tough to, as you mentioned, outproduce guys like, you know, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, et cetera. But, you know, the sky is the limit for Miles Sanders, and especially if he gets all that work that the Eagles are saying he's going to get. It's going to be a good year for him. But other than that, Zach, if you want to move on, you can.
All right, Chris. I think my next hot take is a little more feasible. It's probably one of the safest hot takes we have this entire show, and that's any late round tight end will finish top five. So when I'm talking about late round tight end, I'm talking about guys like T.J. Hockenson, Jonnu Smith, Blake Jarwin, Chris Herndon, Jack Doyle, Mike Gesicki, guys like that. mostly the top three that I would be looking at in that is Jonnu Smith, Mike Gesicki, and TJ Hawkinson. Guys that are in great offenses. I think they have the potential to finish top five, Chris. I mean, if you look at the list of top five tight ends that they have here, assuming that neither of them are going to beat Travis Kelce or George Kittle, I think it's possible that they could get past Zach Ertz, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, Evan Ingram, Tyler Higbee, guys like that. I think some of those late round tight ends could get past guys like that. I think TJ Hawkinson's in a great situation. He's shown that he can done it over last season, but I mean, as we've mentioned in the past, they're looking to form more of a blocking role with him. So that it makes me sad, but I'm sure he's still going to get plenty of work this season. You shouldn't count him out as a tight end one, but I'm not sure he can make top three if they're going to limit his role. So if you go to Mike Gesicki, I think it's definitely a possibility he could finish fifth. I mean, I think he could beat guys like a Darren Waller or an Evan Ingram. I think it's certainly a possibility. Maybe not like a Zach Ertz or a Mark Andrews to like move further into the top five. That's really elite conversation. I think he was a rookie last year, I believe, right? So he's going to need a couple more years to develop in the league if he's going to be able to do that. And then Jonnu Smith, a guy that we haven't seen a ton of, but he's shown a lot of promise. He has highlight reel catches, and his role is most likely going to be expanded in the Tennessee offense this season, Chris. So what do you think of this one?
Is that, I mean, I do like this one. I feel like one of these guys could actually finish top five. I mean, as you mentioned, I already talked about Hayden Hurst and Mike Gesicki, and, you know, I want them finishing as top three as a hot take. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, Jonnu Smith, Mike Gesicki, TJ Hawkinson, and Blake Jarwin, Eric Ebron, et cetera, Jack Doyle, like any of those guys can finish top five. I mean, especially the two I'm looking at are Jonnu and Mike Gesicki, obviously. But even, you know, Blake Jarwin and TJ Hawkinson, you know, they're both still on the same teams and they both know the offense, and for them to finish top five and beat, you know, Waller, Ertz is not impossible. But the impossible part, Zach, is beating Travis Kelce and, you know, George Kittle, because those two are going to be pretty hard to beat. But, yeah, I mean, again, it's a hot take show. So, we're being bold here, but anyway, around tight end finishing top five out of any of those guys you named isn't out of the picture, but it is going to be tough, as you mentioned. But just to touch on Jonnu Smith real quick, yeah, he is going to have a bigger role than he did last year. I mean, all offseason, he's been working out with Ryan Tannehill at, I think, a local park or something. So those two already have that chemistry. And I already talked about Mike Gesicki a lot and what his role is going to be. And even with TJ Hawkinson, I mean, last year, week one, he had a big game. And after that, he was kind of quiet, but he was battling an injury, plus Matthew Stafford was out, so you can't really blame him there. But just look for any of these guys to have a big year, Zach.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, I don't really have anything else to say on that. Do you want to move to your next hot take?
Sure. And for my sixth bold prediction / hot take is going to be for it finishes as a top five quarterback, Zach. You know, I'm pretty high on this guy because, you know, before everyone forgets, Zach, how much he was producing before he got injured last year. I mean, you know, they had some really good wins there. I mean, I think they lost to the Chiefs, but like in overtime or something, they beat the Eagles last year. Like the Lions are a really good team prior to Matthew Stafford's injury. So, I'm looking for that to pick back up, especially if he's healthy this year. And for him to be a top five quarterback isn't out of the picture here. I mean, he's currently ranked as the quarterback 14 for ESPN. And for him to finish as a top five quarterback is very possible to me. And I'm really high on this Lions offense. You know, I mean, I like Kenny Galladay. I like Marvin Jones. Hawkinson, I love. DeAndre Swift, he's there now. So, I mean, yeah, Zach, if Stafford can stay healthy, which is a big part, I see a big year for him.
Yeah, Chris, I feel like quarterback is a much more flexible position for players to be good and bad at year now. I mean, we've seen the rise and fall of some really good players. I mean, we've seen Matt Ryan go from like a quarterback like five his and the year that the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. I forget if he won MVP that year or not, but regardless, like that year when he did really good, and then I saw him finish like QB 17 one year, like almost like a couple years after that. Like, it's not uncommon to see that. Like, Aaron Rodgers was at the top of his game. He was a consistent top five quarterback in his prime, and now ESPN has him ranked at 13th. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen it happen. We've certainly seen it happen. Like, Tom Brady, that's over the course of a longer time. That's probably not the best example. But, I mean, you still understand my point. It's certainly possible. Matthew Stafford has a great-looking offense this season, despite a couple offensive line losses. I think that increased chemistry with Kenny Galladay, and Kenny Galladay is looking a lot better, too. Like, he's starting to develop. I mean, he's got Marvin Jones as a number two, which people really underrate him. It's a guy that I've grown to love more and more as we've done more mock drafts and stuff like that. And, I mean, he's got a great tight end, TJ Hockenson. I mean, I don't see any reason why he can't finish top five, Chris. The quarterback is just such a flexible position. Anyone can finish anywhere. I mean, especially with injuries, too. Quarterbacks are pretty prone to getting injured because you have three or four guys running at you every single play. So it's certainly a possibility, especially like if your quarterback, like even Patrick Mahomes got hurt for a couple games last year. Even the best guys aren't invincible, especially, I mean, Lamar Jackson even scares me a little bit. Like, his consistent running is definitely an injury risk. Like, we've seen it with Michael Vick. I mean, his constant running got him into a lot of trouble sometimes. So it's going to be fun to see this season how it plays out. But I don't think it's out of the question for Matt Stafford to finish top five, especially since I'm a big fan and big believer in the Lions offense this season. So, well, I mean, we're just going to have to see how it pans out. The quarterback is probably the most unpredictable position in fantasy, is what I'd argue. So my next hot take, Chris, is another Lions-related one, and that's Kenny Galladay gets top three wide receiver, which I think is completely feasible. As you mentioned, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was ranked number two, and we both think it's possible that he could finish outside the top 10, maybe. I mean, it's certainly a possibility with him coming into a new team and stuff. We talked about that in depth before. I mean, as I'm looking here, there aren't many guys he has to pass. Chris Godwin, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, Devontae Adams, and DeAndre Hopkins. That's 2-6. With Michael Thomas being the consensus number one, I don't think people are going to pass him. Because, I mean, he did so well last year, Chris, that he could take a regression and still finish the wide receiver one. But I certainly think it's possible for Kenny Galladay, especially with Matthew Stafford back. He finished as a wide receiver one with David Blau for most of the season. So there's no saying what he can't do with an actual competent quarterback. The sky's the limit for this kid, Chris. I mean, we keep saying it. We're both huge fans of him. I think it's definitely possible that you're going to cash in with Kenny Galladay if you pick him in the right spot. What do you think?
Yeah, Zach, I mean, you know I'm a big fan of Kenny Galladay, and I really do think it's going to be a good year for this Lions offense. I mean, of course, I just talked about Matthew Stafford, and now with Kenny G, you're talking about him. And while this may not seem like a very bold or a hot take, Zach, because, you know, you have him getting top three, and he's pretty much ranked seven, so he only has to move up four spots. Zach, for him to do that, he's going to have to pass some elite wide receivers, as you just mentioned. I mean, Chris Godwin. Who else are we talking here? You know, Devontae Adams, maybe even Michael Thomas. He has to pass, you know, Tyreek Hill, Hopkins. He needs to pass some really good wide receivers to get top three. So, while it may not seem bold, Zach, it's going to be hard to do. So, but as you just mentioned with Kenny G and Matthew Stafford, they already have that chemistry. And you mentioned last year, you know, Galladay was getting it done with David Blau. And if he can get it done with him, then he can get it done with Matthew Stafford. I will assure you of that. But I mean, there's pretty much nothing else to say for Kenny Galladay, Zach. I mean, I see a big year for him. So does everyone else. I mean, the lowest, Zach, I've seen Kenny Galladay rank is like 9, I think. So, you know, it's going to be a good year for him and a bounce-back year for Stafford, especially, Zach.
Yeah, Chris, you can go right into your next hot take. I think we've said all we need to on Kenny Galladay.
All right, so my next hot take, my 7th one here, is a very bold one, actually, one of my more bolder ones. Is that Todd Gurley, Zach, finishes as a top 5 running back, and he's currently ranked as the RB18 on ESPN. That's right, 18, and I have him as a hot take finishing as a top 5, and I'll explain why, Zach. Again, this is my 3rd Falcon on this list. I mean, I've mentioned Ridley, I've mentioned Hurst, now I'm mentioning Gurley. It just proves how much I really do like this Falcons offense this year. And, Zach, much like David Johnson, he's looking for a bounce-back year. He's on now a brand-new team, pretty much no one behind him. I mean, Brian Hill behind him, he really doesn't scare me at all, Zach. So behind Gurley, no one's there. And again, lots of targets and volume up for grabs with, you know, Hooper leaving. So Gurley should come and take some of those. And I feel like Hooper's targets and work are going to, you know, Gurley and Hurst are going to grab them. So, yeah, I mean, for Gurley, there really is no one behind him. He's the workhorse running back, Zach. And, you know, when there's no one behind him, he's going to produce and get all the work he can. So I feel like he's going to get all the goal line work, Zach. Matt Ryan's going to use him a lot. And that's why I have him as a hot take finishing as a top 5 running back. And I see a big year for Gurley, Zach, and a bounce back year.
Yeah, Chris. I think he's sure to have a bounce back year, especially with the Falcons. They have a really high octane offense, but he's going to have to pass a lot of people to get the top 5 from 18. I have faith in some of them, but not a lot, if I'm going to be honest. Especially with his shaky knees, it's going to be tough to see him return to his previous form when he was offensive player, when he was like rookie of the year and offensive player of the year countless times over countless weeks when he was doing great things with the Rams. But I mean, they literally sat him out for the Super Bowl, Chris. The biggest game in sports, they sat him out for. Like, it doesn't look great, I'm going to be honest. Like, he didn't have a great year last year or the year before. He's just starting to wear down, Chris. I think it's certainly possible that he could finish inside the top 10 or as a running back 1, but top 5 just seems unfeasible for him at this point. I mean, I can't really say he's getting older, but, I mean, with the knees, arthritis is not something to be joked about. He's really going through it, and with the injury risk, it's just not there for me. I like where he's getting picked up at. I like taking him as a second running back or a third running back. I don't know. I don't have that much faith in him where he could finish top 5. It's just not there for me. He's obviously a great running back, one that I'd want to have on my team, but injury risk is too high for me at this point in his career, and he hasn't produced like as well as he has in a couple of years. So it's not like it's been up and down. It's been consistently low for the last 2 years or so. So that's what's making me so low on Todd Gurley, Chris. But still, I know you're a huge fan of him, and you've pretty much changed my mind on him as well. You've made me look at him much better throughout the time we've done this show, but even on the Falcons, I mean, they can't make everyone around them great, especially like just the injury risk is what's doing it for me, Chris. Honestly, that's just it for Todd Gurley. Obviously, he's a talented running back and great pass catcher, but injury risk is where it is for me, and the fact that the Falcons have all these other targets as well in PPR, so that's where it is for me, Chris. It's a very bold take if we're going to be blunt about it. So I'm just going to roll back right into my final hot take, and that is that Mike Evans outdoes Chris Godwin this season. Mike Evans is ranked only 2 spots behind Godwin at 8, and Godwin's ranked 6, but pretty much everyone that you talk to has Godwin over Evans. And I think with a new quarterback coming in, he's favored a wide receiver that I feel like almost plays like Evans and in Julian Edelman. I mean, they're around the same age, if that has anything to do with it. Julian Edelman's a little bit smaller, but I think anything is possible with this new Bucks offense. I mean, to be honest, I don't have a lot of reasoning for either who should be more. I mean, if Jameis Winston was taking over again, this would be a tougher argument to make. But now that Tom Brady's here, he's the wild card. There's anything could happen. I don't really have any great reasoning for either, if I'm going to be honest. But it's definitely something that could happen. It's just we have to see who he favors. But I feel like people are sleeping a lot on Mike Evans and aren't willing to welcome. Obviously, he's an elite receiver, and people are still ranking him as a wide receiver one. It's also going to be tough for Tom Brady to make two wide receivers fantasy relevant. It's tough for anyone to do that. So, especially as relevant as ESPN has them at, like 6 and 8 is what they have these two guys at. So that's a tall order even for Tom Brady, especially in his old age. But really, he's the wild card in this, Chris. I think anything could happen here, and people are counting out Evans too quick.
That's right, Zach. You know, it's going to be tough for old man Brady to make two wide receivers produce in this offense, especially two really good wide receivers, Zach, as you mentioned. So while this might not seem as bold for Evans to you know, beat Godwin in fantasy points, it's tough because I don't think any of these guys are really going to produce as we expect them to. I mean, it's going to be tough. I think Brady's just going to pick one of them, and he's going to throw to them. And you have, as a hot take, Evans here. But again, I'm one of those people that has Godwin because he's just I feel like the overall better wide receiver. I mean, Evans is more of a deep threat, Zach, and Brady really doesn't have the deep ball left in him anymore. So I feel like Godwin is going to run like those short routes, you know, and that's why I feel like, you know, Brady might not have the arm strength anymore to help Evans out with that long ball. And I feel like that's why Godwin is going to benefit more from this short, you know, slant routes or something like that. So that's why I like Godwin better. But, you know, it's definitely not out of the picture for Evans to outscore Godwin. I mean, as I just said, Brady, I think, is going to just pick one guy and the other one's going to bust. So, you know, maybe as a hot take, you have Evans here, which is a pretty good one because, as you mentioned, Zach, pretty much I would say 95% of people, maybe even like 99% of people have Godwin ahead of Evans as a consensus rankings to as you just said. So, yeah, that's why I feel like this one may not be as bold, but it's you're going to look like a genius, Zach. So I really do like this one.
Yeah, Chris, I also just got word that the tight ends are getting paid today. With George Kittle getting paid this morning, apparently the Chiefs are closing in on signing Travis Kelce to a long-term extension, at least 5 years. It seems like they're spending many money they don't have at this point. Just something I thought,
wow.
This is something I thought I'd add real quick, but we can move on to your final hot take here, Chris, and this is a really bold one, so I'm excited to see your reasoning behind it.
Yeah, Zach, I mean, you know I'm a pretty big guy on Terry McLaurin. I mean, I'm pretty high on him. He's grown on me just these past couple weeks, and if Terry McLaurin finishes as a top 10 wide receiver, you know, just to end it off on a really bold one, he's currently ranked as the wide receiver 23 on ESPN, and, you know, especially on this horrible, horrible Washington offense, Zach. For him to finish top 10, it was going to be very bold because this Washington offense is not very good at all. He's pretty much the only fantasy relevant player on that team. So, and especially with the quarterback play, like we don't know what's going to happen with that. So, you know, I just got to put it in here because that's the point of the show. It's hot takes, bold predictions. So, McLaurin, top 10 wide receiver. It's going to take a lot for him to do that. It's going to take a lot of, you know, volume, which is there because, Zach, behind Terry McLaurin, there's no one on that Washington team. So you're pretty much trading in, you know, volume and targets for a bad quarterback play. So that's pretty much like what's evening it out for the Washington offense here. I mean, you have a pretty bad quarterback, and then you have McLaurin, who is going to see all the receiving work pretty much. I mean, no one's behind him that I can think of. So that's why I feel like if everything works out, if the quarterback can play better, than McLaurin is going to produce this year, and I really do like him. Really like him. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, I said I'd rather take a guy like McLaurin, Ridley over Odell. I mean, I feel like they're just not safer, but they have more upside, and I trust them a bit more than Odell because of that stacked offense in Cleveland. So McLaurin, I see big things for him, Zach. I'm really excited, and you know I've been taking him a lot. His ADP, though, it sucks. It's been skyrocketing up. I mean, I used to get him in the 6th, 7th round. Now I can barely get him in the 4th round, Zach. It's really tough to get him now.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, as I'm looking at it here, there's a lot of guys you have to pass to get to number 10. I'm just going to quickly read off. He's ranked at 23 by ESPN. I'm just going to quickly read off all of these guys ahead of him. So, like, T.Y. Hilton, Lockett, Calvin Ridley, Keenan Allen, Corlin Sutton, A.J. Brown, Robert Woods, Juju Smith-Schuster, Odell Beckham Jr., Amari Cooper, Adam Thielen, Allen Robinson, and D.J. Moore is at number 9. Like, those are some really big names that he's going to have to pass. And guys that we really love, and frankly, I think they're gonna do better than him. I could definitely name 10 to 15 guys that are going to outproduce Terry McLaurin by a pretty significant amount. As much as I hate to say it, but I mean the bad quarterback play there is. I don't even know who's gonna start there this season. Like, is Dwayne Haskins starting there? Is Case Keenum still even on the team? I don't even know at this point. And the fact that he's gonna have to pass guys that we love much better than him, even guys lower on the spectrum, guys like Robert Woods, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen, Cortland Sutton, Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to pass those guys, let alone anyone in the top 10. So I feel like Terry McLaurin has a lot of talent, and he's going to be able to get the volume this year. But the fact that he's just on such a bad team doesn't help at all. I don't think it's going to be possible for him. Like, I can't really name any wide receivers on bad teams that have done that well in past years. Like, no one really comes to mind. They've all had all these top 10 wide receivers. Like, these top 10 wide receivers now, as I'm looking at them, like Drew Brees, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Matt Stafford, Teddy Bridgewater, and Allen Robinson is Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, which is definitely the worst on the list, but Allen Robinson has much more experience. He's done well in the past. Like, I don't know, Chris. I think Terry McLaurin at 10 is definitely. I don't think it's possible in the slightest. I don't. Like, I think at least 5 guys ahead of him would have to get injured in order for that to happen. I just don't see it. Obviously, he's very talented. I said this before. He's very talented, but he's just on a bad team. I don't think it's in the cards for him. But you want to round us out, Chris?
You did make some good points there. And, I didn't realize how tough it would be to, crack the top 10 for Terry McLaurin because of how many good guys there are in that top 10, as you just mentioned. I mean, they all have really good quarterbacks that I didn't really realize. But, other than that, Zach, if you don't have anything else, then I'll take us out here.
Yep, nope, I'm good, Chris. Take us right out.
All right, well, that'll be all for our show today. Thank you to all of our listeners, and be sure to tune in to Zach and I's next show, which will be our quarterback ranking show, where Zach and I will share our updated QB rankings for the 2020 fantasy football season. With the NFL season, Zach, being less than a month away, that's right, less than a month away, it's crazy now. You can get Prep Sports updates from our Twitter pages at SJP Broadcasting and at @SJPrep_sports. As for Zach Reagan, I'm Christopher Newman saying thank you for listening. Have a great day and go Prep.